So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
The Friday night lights have been shining all over the First Coast. Now it's time to break it all down.
Friday Night Lights,
presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Denny Thompson.
And a very good Friday evening to you, Jacksonville. The Friday Night Lights postgame, 1010XL, 92.5 FM with Denny Thompson, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. It is playoff time. In the state of Florida, there was some good, there was some bad in the area tonight, Denny. We just heard one of the very good, Bulls, a 30-27 victory. They were down 27-10 at halftime. They outscore West Florida out in Pensacola 20-0 in the second half. And the Bulls Bulldogs, a six-hour bus ride. They are on their way home with a 30-27 victory. They advance in the 5A state playoffs.
Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness. Not a good night here. Great night for Bulls. It's going to make that trip a little bit easier coming home. That's a brutal trip. I've done it a lot of times as a coach, both win and lose. Bulls is going to do Bulls things. Like, I mean, there's not a moment too big for Bulls. And so you hate – I think I said this last week. Like, if you're West Florida, you hated that draw. You looked at it and went, man, really?
It's a West Florida team that knocked out Trinity last year.
Yeah, but I mean, there's just some teams that you see. I mean, of course, Lee Haggerty we'll get into and some stuff like that. But regardless of your seeding, if you get Bulls, you know we may have a problem here.
Here are the final scores. We got Victoria's head coaches coming up in a matter of moments. We mentioned there was some bad in the area. A lot of area teams have been eliminated. Pensacola Escambia over St. Augustine, 33-16. The Yellow Jackets season ends tonight. They were district champions this year. All in all, Denny, despite all the injuries, St. Aug making it to the playoffs, winning that district, not what they wanted, but I think St. Augustine, when they look back on this, overcoming those injuries, got to feel good about themselves. They were able to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's where I was at tonight. I went down to St. Aug and watched that, and it was one of those things where St. Aug still got some injuries, and Escambia was just a better athletic team, more athletic team. And about halfway through the first quarter, it was like it took me back to my old coaching days of when you've got to call plays and get creative so many times and you've got to execute so perfectly just to even get 5 yards. It was a tough matchup for them.
University Christian, your alma mater, a 56-12 winner over Rocky
it's
Bayou
just what we
Christian.
Do, man. That's yeah. just what we do.
So University Christian advances in the 2A state playoffs. Ponte Vedra's season comes to an end. The Sharks go down to Tallahassee Godby tonight. 34-23. The Lee Generals go on the road and absolutely destroy Haggerty 48-7. That's going to set up a rematch next week. Lee at Lake City Columbia. The Tigers eliminate Fletcher 38-10. What a game in round two, Lee and Lake City Columbia.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I mean, probably the only traditional rematch that we're going to have with this new playoff system because NFC and UC don't play next week, and traditionally they would. So, be a great game. Can't wait to see what happens with that.
Baker County, a winner tonight, 28-14 over Hernando. So the Wildcats advance. Menendez season comes to an end. That great running back combo, Kenny Logan and Ty Edwards, they will both be playing on Saturdays next year as North Marion gets it done over Menendez 27-22, a game that has just gone final. McCullough over Rebalt 17-8. Baldwin, first ever home playoff game for the Baldwin Indians. They had the ball on the 5-yard line with 23 seconds to go, fourth and goal. They do not convert. Taylor County, a 24-17, called an upset win over Baldwin. Baldwin goes 9-2, getting their first ever home playoff game. When they look back on this in a couple of weeks, probably going to think about the great memories. But, boy, I'm sure that one stings tonight.
It's going to take more than a couple of weeks. It's going to be the one that got away for a little while because they fully expected to win this game. And they're talented enough that – they expected to make a run in the playoffs. So this one's going to sting for a little while. Surprising, but do you know what they got? You know, Gavin has made his mark on that entire area in Baldwin. He's made his mark here locally. He's had a great career. And that's a program that's definitely on the rise right now.
So Gavin Screw's high school career comes to an end. Baldwin falls 24-17 to Taylor County. More scores coming up, but we got some victorious head coaches on the line. Let's start right now in 8A. Bobby Ramsey of the Mandarin Mustangs, a dominating performance tonight over DeLand. They advance to round two of the 8A state playoffs. Coach, congratulations. What a performance tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. We felt like last time we played them that we left some things out there and didn't execute certain situations where we left some points out on the board, and really challenged the guys that, hey, you control everything that happens to you from here on out, and everybody you're going to play against, you're going to be good enough to beat if you do the right thing. So I was proud of the way the guys came out, and they took advantage of some turnovers early and really got a chokehold on the game.
Coach, all indications are your quarterback, Carson Beck, had one heck of a game.
Yeah, he struggled a little early. I don't know if it was the delay or, you know, we had gotten some rain. He was a little off on a couple things, and then late first quarter from that point on, especially with the vertical stuff, he was really, really accurate, and they gave us some things coverage wise that they hadn't given us last time. You know, they were a pretty off quarters team the previous go around, and they were challenging our guys. They were playing tight quarters coverage and essentially man. And we like those matchups with the guys that we have. And he was able to get the ball out there where either they were going to catch it or it was going to be a drop. He was really accurate from that point on.
Coach, it's amazing how much you guys have evolved. I'm not even going to say improved, but I'm going to say evolved, because I think everybody knew the potential that was sitting over there off of Greenland Road going into the year. But there's times during the season, we've talked about this many times, where you know it's like, okay, are they going to get there? Are they going to get there? It looks like you guys are peaking at the right time. Now you've got Winter Park. And listen, I mean, they're the number two seed. There's no easy 8A team. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But that's also what makes 8A fun, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a ton of parity at this level, and I told the guys on Monday when we had our meeting to start the week, I said, I mean, every year we made the playoffs at Yulee. I knew that we could make a run. I knew that we could play for a while, but I also knew that there was going to come a point where we were going to run up against a team that we just couldn't beat. And that was even having Derek. There was going to be a team, whether it was Bowles or Booker T. Washington, that was just going to have much more depth than us. And we could fight them hard, but we probably were not going to be able to beat a team like that. But there's not a team in 8A that I don't feel like we can go in there and beat. At the same time, there's certainly everybody capable of beating you. Mm-hmm. So it's fun in the sense that you have that opportunity, but it's also, you know, there's not an easy road to get to a state championship either.
With all that being said, how rewarding is it to see the progress this team has made, or the evolution, as I said earlier, just from when you started back in August to actually, I guess, late July this year to now, just to see the way this team has matured and progressed?
I think you notice it when, you know, we're getting ready for games, and the guys, they know how to get themselves ready. They know how to focus, you know, things that you had to kind of teach them before, they just know how to do. I think offensively, and I told people a lot at the beginning of the year, is that, I mean, Carson only had four games at Providence last year. I mean, it wasn't like he was walking in having played 20-some games of high school football. And he deserved a learning curve as much as anybody else does. And the more reps, like anybody, the more reps he got, the more comfortable he got, the better he was going to be. And you've seen it certainly, I think, the second half of the season on. That stuff, I think, is more just a matter of a good, you know, good talented player with a lot of good intangibles, just having more time. But as far as the overall is concerned, I think the confidence that the guys play with, the belief in themselves, you don't have to sell them on, hey, you guys can win this game, or, you know, you don't have to go psychology mode or anything like that. They really have a maturity about them that, is encouraging, and, they just have to keep doing it week in, week out. I mean, they get off track sometimes, but, you can zap them right in back in line, and hopefully, we talked about what got us here is good enough to help us keep winning games, and hopefully the players keep doing that.
David Penland of University Christian, less than 2 minutes away as we wrap up here with Mandarin head coach Bobby Ramsey. 35-0 tonight, the Mustangs over DeLand. Coach, on the road next week, and look, you've won at Apopka. You won at DeLand earlier this year. You've won big games on the road against 8A competition. What can you tell us about Winter Park?
Nothing. I don't know anything about
it. Hey, that's the right answer, too,
oh, there
right?
There you go. Yeah. I bet you're going to learn here in the next couple hours.
I was gonna try to give you some kind of, like,
they're
know,
good.
Coachly thing, but, yeah, they're good. I mean, I know they're 10-1. And, I mean, I couldn't tell you their mascot. I think it's pretty close to UCF.
But, Wildcats.
Okay.
And they did put a pretty good number on Flagler Palm Coast tonight.
Don't quote me on that. I think they're the Wildcats.
I mean right then and there, like that is the extent of my knowledge of Winter Park. I know, no, they have a turf field. We talked about that. One of my D coordinator used to be down there, and he said they have a turf field. But other than that, I mean, you couldn't pay me to name a guy on their team right now. I don't say that as an insult. I mean, they're just not anybody we've seen film on or crossed paths with or anything like that. So,
will you start looking tonight, or will you wait till tomorrow?
Well, we'll trade film tonight, online, and we'll get going tomorrow morning on them. So, if you ask me this question again tomorrow, late afternoon, I can give you an analytical answer, but I'm not even gonna try to lie to you. I don't know anything about them.
Well, hold that thought till Tuesday, and you'll be on XL Prime Time. We'll ask you all about them. How about that?
All right, yes, sir. Sounds good.
Hey, Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bobby Ramsey of Mandarin. Honest man, doesn't know much about his opponent in the second round, but I bet he's going to learn pretty quickly.
This is where I miss coaching, right here. Is not the games, not anything like that. What he just said is waking up on Saturday morning and there's a team that you know nothing about and breaking down that entire team. Because nowadays you can get, if you make a couple calls, you can get all 10 games pretty easily. To me, that was the most fun part of coaching right there.
Let's go to a guy that knows all about winning in the playoffs, David Penland of University Christian. Just a dominating effort tonight in round one of the 2A state playoffs. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Coach, 56-12, was it as lopsided as it appeared?
Yeah, there was a playoff system got them in. They probably shouldn't have been in, but, they were young. Past 2 weeks was playing really well, but played against some really good teams and started slow in the first two quarters of the every half. I couldn't figure it out. They finally started playing really well, and we kind of went off of that from last week, and these guys have figured out how to come out fast, and that's what we did tonight.
Well, rare air for you next week, right on the road in round two of the playoffs. That doesn't happen very often against a McClay ball club, who I guess had a bye tonight. So it's important for you guys to rest up because you're playing a team that will be well rested next week.
Yeah. Again, the playoff system with the points and all that, we got the third seed, which I really kind of wanted secretly just because I didn't want another bye week. I wanted to get rolling. So we got the third seed. We'll be traveling next week and to Tallahassee and hopefully making another trip the next week to Tallahassee.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I'm looking at the bracket right now. Is there's in this region, there's four teams left. Three of them are in Tallahassee with North Florida Christian, FAMU, and McClay all right there. And those two games will be played like 5 minutes apart. McClay's a beautiful campus, by the way. I don't know if y'all have ever been there, Dave. But
we've been there. We actually went and walked through the thing in 2015. Instead of going to NFCA, how they put you in a little Cracker Jack box. We warmed up had a walkthrough at McClay, dressed and changed, and literally got to the field at 6:30. And our first group got off the bus and went straight to the field.
That's
the smartest
awesome.
Thing I've ever done.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. We'll talk about, I can say this because I'm an alumni there. I mean, Hackers asked me last week how excited and how relieved are coaches once they make the playoffs. That's not the situation at UC, is it? I mean, there's expectations now at the playoffs. It's not a relief at all until that state championship.
Yeah, it's not. It's it's another season for us, and the guys know we take it serious, and they all want to get there. And us coaches, we turn it up a notch, and you know, the players know when the playoffs are around, it's go time. It's the state championship bust for us. And they all know that, and that's what they believe. And so it's always nice when the guys, you know, seniors that have been there for a while, know when we get the playoffs, it's go time, and they enjoy it. They work hard, and it's fun for us, too.
You know, now that you're back in the playoffs, final moments here with David Penland, we're actually going to have Verwin Dormany of Trinity Christian.
There's like 19 state championships.
Yeah, there's a lot of state titles on the phone lines right now. Verwin Dormany's coming up in just a moment as we're wrapping things up with David Penland. Coach, you've won, obviously, numerous state titles. You got to Orlando last year. You came up a little bit short. How much of a motivating factor is that this time around, knowing you got all the way there, didn't get it done last year, and trying to, you know, redeem yourself a little bit?
That's a big motivator. You know, I was lucky enough to win three straight, and then we lost the fourth. And, you know, you get after the game, everybody's interviewing you, and I've never been in that situation before, so it was new for me. And that feeling I had, I just never want that feeling again. And I know the seniors felt the same way. Those guys, since they've been at UC, we won, and to lose, you know, it wasn't fun, and so they've taken that to heart. They don't want to feel that way, you know, on December 7th. If we, you know, hopefully we make it there and come out with a win, hopefully, and you know, we're going to work hard these next, what is it, 3 weeks now? They changed it, but yeah, we'll work hard for the next 3 weeks, game by game, trying to get closer to that December 7th.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a first-round win tonight on the road next week at McClay. Best of luck, Coach.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
David Penland of University Christian.
Hey, before we move on, there's something interesting. So we're sure that Ponte Vedra lost? Because the FHSA, I'm looking at their bracket, they've got Ponte Vedra advancing after winning 45-38.
That is not the score I had. We will certainly look more into that. I've got two different websites here. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. We'll have to, maybe we'll call a couple Ponte Vedra people and see what happened, because if you have that on one website,
well, it's on the FHSA.org website.
Then there are a couple of websites that are definitely inaccurate right now. Hold that thought one moment. Let's go to a team that we know was a big winner, and that was Trinity Christian, head coach Verwin Dormany. They were all over the Suwannee Bulldogs out of Live Oak tonight. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, Hack. Appreciate it.
Coach, it's interesting. My stepbrother played at Suwannee in the late 80s, early 90s under Mike Pittman when they won all those state titles in a row. And he texted me earlier and he said, "Hey, what can you tell me about Trinity Christian?" I said, "Good luck," in all caps. And obviously you guys came to fruition tonight. What a dominating performance from you and your ball club.
You know, the kids did a great job. You know, watching Suwannee back in the early 90s and the late 80s was a lot of fun when Coach Pittman won the four state championships in a row. I was over. I remember watching them 1 year play bowls in the playoffs, and it was just some great football that was played out there.
When you play a schedule like you guys play, Coach, is there still that extra, like, juice on playoff night? Or is it more of a business-as-usual type of deal because of the type of big games that you guys have already been in?
You know what, Denny, it's hard to say. You know, I just jumped all over them yesterday after practice because I just thought they were too lackadaisical, you know, going into this first round. And, you know, they have played some big games. We, you know, played in the Columbia game and the Braden River game, and, you know, it was just close. And, you know, a lot of times they take for granted the first round of the playoffs, but, you know, you're not playing 3A ball anymore. You're playing 5A ball, and, you know, you're playing schools with 1,200-1,300 kids in them. And so, you know, you're going to get good football. But, you know, fortunate tonight, we came out and opening kickoff, running all the way back, and I think kind of set the tone, and kids really played well. But, you know, each week's a different story, and especially in 5A football.
Yeah, I was wondering about that earlier. I was paying attention to you guys' score, and it was, you know, effectively over pretty early. I haven't ever coached at a team as loaded as some of the teams you guys have, but I have been at Bartram when they were pretty good, and UC when they were pretty good. And that was always like the biggest challenge, I thought, was that season seems like it drags on and you have blowout after blowout, and then you have a big game or two matched in there, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're playing the playoffs, a team that you don't know anything about that's not a rival. And it right. it's kind of – sometimes it's hard when they're from out of town and you know nothing at all about them. It's just another game.
Yeah, other than the thought that if you don't win, it's over.
Yeah.
We tell our kids all the time, hey, you know what? Here's what you've got promised this week. You got 3 days in pads. You got to walk through. You got a game on Friday. You don't win on Friday, there is no practice on Monday.
Turning gear in.
Right.
Yeah, turning gear in. So what do you know about – anything about Wakulla? Have you anything at all about them, or you've just been focused on Swanee?
No, Danny, we've been watching film on Wakulla.
What about Wakulla, Coach?
I love that.
They eliminate Rebolt tonight, so what can you tell us about them?
You know what? A good football team. I mean, they finished the regular season 8-2, and their only two losses was to Godby, who finished 10-0, and to Madison County.
Wow.
Who I don't think lost a game, you know. And I mean, I know they struggled a little bit with Rebolt tonight, but Rebolt has a really, really good defense.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they are good. You know, if they could find a way to put it together on offense, they'd be a great football team. I mean, they played Range 14-6 last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have been, you know, we know that I used to watch Wakulla a lot. When we used to play North Florida Christian, because they were always on North Florida Christian's schedule and I always get film of them in North Florida Christian. So, I mean, I know Coach Jones, who was out there for years, you know, J.D. Jones, and he did a great job. And in fact, his son's the head coach at Taylor County now. They'd just be balling. But they do a great job. They run a lot of wing T stuff that, of course, you know, we used to do, and we see at bowls, and they do some of it under center and a lot of it out of the gun. And, you know, they throw it around a little bit, but they do a great job pulling guards and getting extra gaps, and backs are good. And they're just, you know, that good country town football. They're just hard-nosed kids that play really, really hard. So it'll be a lot of fun. The good thing is we get to play at home again.
Final moments here with Verlin Dormady at Trinity Christian, O.J. Small of Lee, coming up in less than 2 minutes. Coach, final question for you. Your running back made some news this week. Marcus Crowley, who, again, I think is the best player in the area. He is just a dynamic football player. Went committed to Miami forever. Now he's on his way to Ohio State. Not to get too much into the decision, Coach, but I remember you telling us Ohio State was visiting you guys, and when they saw Marcus, a lot of eyes lit up on that Ohio State coaching staff, and kind of the pipeline from Trinity to Columbus, Ohio, continues. We've had, Sean Wade, Tyreek Johnson, and now it appears Marcus Crowley is on his way to Big Ten country.
Yeah, you know what? I think the experience last week for Marcus was just a lot of fun, you know, because that tradition they have there with their program and, you know, playing in the Shoe, and, you know, everything's right there on campus, and it's, you walk out on that field and there's 105,000 people. That's pretty incredible, you know. And so, but, you know, we've had a great relationship with Urban. Gosh, he started recruiting us in 99 when Gus and Karan and Gerard and all them were playing. He was an assistant receivers coach at Notre Dame. Mm. So, you know, I've been knowing him for quite a few years, and just the opportunity to, you know, that relationship with him and have kids go there and play, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, Verlin Dormady of Trinity Christian, big winners tonight over Live Oak Swanee. They will now play Wakulla in round two of the 5A state playoffs. Coach, congratulations on a big playoff win tonight.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Verlin Dormady of Trinity. O.J. Small, 1 minute away, Denny, but just to give a scoreboard update, Godby won. I mean, that's okay. On every website I've seen.
Yeah. I thought so. Just when I pulled up the bracket, they had them advancing.
If Godby didn't win, there are about seven different websites that have problems right now. Godby 34-23 over Pontevedra. Baldwin loses at home over to Taylor County 24-17. Bowles, a come-from-behind win over West Florida 30-27. University Christian 56-12 over Rocky Bayou Christian. The Menendez Falcons, their season ends tonight. North Marion gets it done, 27-22.
Don't forget about Oakleaf. They played last
night. Oakleaf last night to Tallahassee Lincoln in triple overtime.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah.
Questionable call, too, by the way.
Yeah, it was. But Lincoln gets it done 38-31 in triple overtime. Baker County a winner tonight over Hernando, 28-14. Rebalt falls to McCullough, 17-8. St. Augustine falls to Escambia, 33-16. And the Columbia Tigers win 38-10. Speaking of Columbia, who eliminated Fletcher tonight, they will now see the Lee Generals next week. That is because Lee goes on the road and, quite frankly, has a fun time down at Hagerty. 48-7, Lee with the win. Their head coach is O.J. Small. He joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congrats on a big road playoff win this evening.
I appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it.
Coach, when you go on the road in 7A football in the playoffs, it's not supposed to be easy, but, boy, it looks like you guys were clicking on all cylinders tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Jumped up, started fast. I'm just trying to build off our win from last week. Yeah, you know, every week is about growth. The kids were on the same page. They had a great week of practice, and we're starting to click at the right time right now.
You know, it was funny because I was following on Twitter, and it seemed like the Tavion Nicholson show. It seemed like he was making plays from every single position that you can make plays from. Just talk about what he means to your team and what kind of year he's had.
Definitely a valuable player at any position on the field. Had interception today, played running back, played receiver, you know, just dynamic kid, dynamic player, special team-wise, keep returning the punt returner. He's a leader of the team, and he gets it. He understands the big picture, so he's working hard, and he's trying to lead by example as well. So I'm happy for him. We definitely deserve the success that he's been having.
Coach, next week's a big one. All right, you're celebrating tonight. I'm sure you're on the bus coming back home. But, boy, as a media guy, looking towards next week, the rematch, Lee, Lake City, Columbia, round two, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that, does it, Coach?
Yeah, definitely. Just 7A football. We'll go back out there to Lake City, Columbia to see Coach Allen and the Tigers. You know, we got to make sure we have our business, change some things up, and just be ready for a tough game.
How many times have y'all played the last couple? I mean,
it's like a rite of passage. They play twice a year, it seems like, every year.
It seems like every other week we're talking about Lee Columbia. It's crazy, but talk about that, though, because that can be an advantage, I think, for you guys, because around here, Columbia is kind of thought of as this amazing place to go and play, this atmosphere, and in some circles a little bit feared. But there's no fear from you guys because you guys have not only played them, you've beaten them. Just talk about the confidence you guys have going in.
Every time we line up, we know it's going to be a good game. They're going to bring a tough game, and we got to make sure we have students and play in the Lee High School football. You know, it's just last time they got the best of us. You know, playing a little sloppy. At the same time, we moved from that loss, and we're a better team now than we saw early in the season.
Well, and it's interesting, too. You're going back to the same stadium, playing on the same field. It's going to have the same hype, if not bigger, now that it's playoff time. It's almost a replica of what we saw 6 weeks ago. I remember I had you on XL Primetime. It's Florida State, right? OJ on one sideline, Brian Allen on the other, and it's going to be another whale of a ball game. And if it lives up to how good the first game was, Coach, we're in for a treat next Friday.
You definitely are. Hopefully we don't play as tough as we did as the first game. You know, we just had too many of my bads the first game. Man. It was 15 penalties, 25 missed tackles, 8 drop balls on offense, got in the red zone 6 times since putting the points on the board. It's hard to win that game against a good team like this city, you know. So, like you say, hopefully we're a better team. Well, you know, hopefully we are a better team than, you know, when we first played them early in the year. So, and like I say, we're starting to click right. So, I look forward to a good game. Definitely can't keep shooting ourselves in the foot. There's going to be some good 7-day football, you know.
Well, it's going to be one of the games of the week, no question. Round two of the 7A state playoffs, Lee and Lake City Columbia. O.J. Small, the head coach of Lee, a big 48-7 win tonight at Hagerty. Coach, congratulations. Have fun on that bus ride back home.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Always appreciate O.J. Small of Lee joining us under the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, I was just looking at something while he was talking. I'm on Max Preps, and Max Preps does a good job with their national rankings. There's like 12,000 schools. If you're in the top, say, 500, you're a really good football team. And I was just curious what Lee was. Just think about this. Trinity, Lee, and Reigns are all near each other somewhat, right? Trinity's 41 in the nation.
Wow.
Okay? Reigns is like 99 in the nation, and Lee is 111. Like, that is insanely good. Give me a second.
Really?
Pause, please. No, I mean, I just have to look them up. I didn't look them up.
Because Columbia's one loss is by 1 point.
Columbia's 47.
Yeah, okay.
So they're right behind Trinity. I mean, that's for people that follow this stuff. If you're 111 in the country, you're really stinking.
And we have four of them in the area.
Right.
That's incredible. Another big win. Look, it's playoff football, and Baker County wins playoff football. Jamie Rogers is the head coach of Baker County. He joins us under the Friday Night Lights. A home playoff win tonight for the Wildcats. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Coach, you and I had a conversation this week about Hernando coming in with that wing tee offense. How much of a challenge was that? And from the scoreboard, it looks like your defense did a very good job.
Yeah, we did. We gave up, as we like to do, we like to give up a couple passing touchdowns every now and again. but we were able to take the run away from their fullback's very good player. Had over 1,500 yards from fullback. So we were able to neutralize him. And we thought going in, if we could stop him, we thought we had a pretty good chance to win the game. That's kind of what happened.
Yeah, when you and I spoke the other night, Jamie, I mean, obviously the wing tee is something you've seen a ton of in your career.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think, you know, 15 years ago we were all like, if we didn't see the wing tee, it was a different week. But now when you see the wing tee, you've got to prepare a little bit differently. How much time did you guys spend on keying the guards and stuff like that this past week?
Oh, I mean, that's all we did. That's all we talked about Monday and Tuesday in every defensive period. I mean, it's the safeties. If this wing back goes, you got to keep the other wing back coming back to you. Just all those things. You know, I mean, you've heard it 1,000 times, but I mean, these kids haven't.
Yeah.
And you know, it was really tough on Monday to get them to keep eye discipline on what they're supposed to look at. But by Wednesday, we had the best Wednesday practice I think I've ever been associated with. The intensity was there. It was some chips on shoulders, young guys, young ninth graders out there trying to make a name. It was really what we kind of want to build ourselves off of, and it was a phenomenal practice. I thought that was going to lead us in the right direction tonight.
I don't know if you had this urge or not, but when I was coaching, every time we would prepare the last couple of years for a wing tee, it kind of made me want to go back to it because it's so dang hard to find the ball. Like, I had to fight that urge every single time.
Hey, and we have like 4 or 5 midget running backs. So can you imagine behind the 6'5", 320-pound lineman that we got? Can you imagine how hard it'd be to see those guys?
Exactly. Exactly.
I said it on Sunday. I said, I might want to throw a few of these plays in there real quick. You think we block down and kick out still or everything's on?
Now, Jamie Rogers of Baker County. Coach, I don't have a score. I would have to think Nature Coast won tonight. Do you know?
Yeah, well, last I heard it was 50-27, 50-28, something like that.
Okay, well, it's better than I thought it would be. What can you tell us about Nature? First off, A, how far are you traveling? And B, what kind of team is that?
I guess like 2 hours and 45 minutes. We actually had them in the 1-8 game last year. They came up here in the first round.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we've got a kind of idea. I saw a film. Actually, we had the Hernando Nature Coast film from 2 weeks ago. So I kind of got to see them. I've watched them today some, just in case that, you know, we were able to meet. So, you know, it's the same stuff they were doing last year. It looks like a lot better kids. I think they went out and found some players.
Well, congratulations on a big win. Baker County, the last 2 years, they win playoff football. That continues tonight, 28-14 over Hernando. Next week on the road against Nature Coast. Coach, best of luck. We hope we're talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Me too. Go Cats.
Jamie Rogers of Baker County, a winner tonight. Whew. All right.
We just did the longest segment in the history of the show.
We did a long segment. All right. So to break it all down, and we'll go through these individually, essentially here's what you need to know. There were three teams that had byes tonight. Mm-hmm. Reigns had a bye, West Nassau had a bye, and the Fighting Joe Cowherds of St. Joseph's had a bye. Those three will
that would
be playing
be the
next
flashes.
Week.
I'm going to respect flashes. Them.
Well, Joe Cowherd. No, I respect them by saying the Fighting Joe Cowherds. All right. So those three will be playing next week. The other teams that will be playing next week, Bowles, with their come-from-behind win, they will be playing. You will hear that game on 1010 AM and 92.5 FM. They will play Tallahassee Godby. University Christian will be playing next week. Lee will be playing Lake City Columbia next week. Mandarin will be playing next week. Trinity Christian will be playing. Baker County will be playing. And
that's it.
Lake City Columbia, if you want to include them, which I did against Lee. So, yeah, we're kind of dwindled down here. We had a lot more teams advanced to round two last year, but we still have about eight or nine that will be in round two competition.
Yeah, the funny thing is, if they all win next week, then it's going to be a banner year. I mean, it's all about who's practicing on Thanksgiving.
That's right. That's exactly right. That is Denny Thompson. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green. You are the City of Jacksonville, and we're happy you're with us under the Friday Night Lights. As always, we are presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. We'll give you a Steak'em sizzling victory of the night and more analysis on round one of the state playoffs, Jacksonville. It is a Friday night. We're with you till midnight right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This freshest bread that you'll...
Friday Night Lights, presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL.
With Denny Thompson, the Hacker, Ryan Green here with you under the Friday Night Lights. Round one of the state playoffs in the books. I believe by my count, eight or nine? I think nine teams is what we're going to have next week playing in round two. The three that had the bye tonight, six winners tonight. So nine teams in our area remain for round two of the high school state playoffs next Friday. Every week here under the Friday Night Lights, we give you a Steak'em sizzling victory of the night. And let's do that right now.
Now, time for the sizzling victory of the week, brought to you by Steak'em. Find Steak'em at Publix and Walmart.
The Steak'em sizzling victory of the week, Denny, it was an easy one. It was a game you heard right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Bowles trailing 27-10 at halftime out in Pensacola, outscores West Florida 20-0 in the second half. The Bulldogs now probably on I-10, coming back those 6 hours with a 30-27 victory. They now get Tallahassee Godby next week in round two.
Yeah, huge win for him. And I think, obviously, Chris Sanders is a spark.
Chris Sanders is a stud. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't feel like we give their quarterback enough credit. He's one of our kids at 6 points, Ben Netting. He's had a great year. I mean, you're talking about he comes in, fills in or follows two back-to-back Division I quarterbacks, and all he's done is just I think he's completing close to 70% of his passes. Like, I mean, he's having a really good year. That offense seems to be clicking. I actually got to see him against Bishop Kenny with a great comeback there, another great comeback here. It wouldn't shock me if next Friday we're talking about them beating Godby. Would it shock you if we're ever talking about Bowles beating anybody?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, they're Bowles. It's what they do. They now, and you know what? I say that. They did lose in round one last year to Trinity. So this was a big game for them to get out of round one.
That was the
one.
First round?
Yeah, it was the first round last year, Trinity and Bowles.
Wow.
It was round one. And so now Bowles does get it done this year to advance. Of the teams that lost tonight, Ponte Vedra lost tonight. Baldwin lost tonight. You also had losses from Menendez. Rebalt went down. St. Augustine, Fletcher. Of the teams that lost tonight in our area, anything jump out at you from those losses? I think Baldwin's probably the big one. And you know what? Oakleaf last night in triple overtime.
Yeah, it's funny because I look at all those, and I don't know about all these teams. I don't know. But like Rebalt, for example. Rebalt's young. So that experience they gained, and like Coach Dormany said, the way they've been playing at the end of the season, really good defense. They've got a freshman quarterback that they ran out there who's going to be a good player.
I would imagine Kelvin Smith's pretty excited for January when they start getting ready for 2019.
Oakleaf, you know, you Keyshawn King is gone, but outside of that, you've got a lot. I think eight starters come back on offense, eight starters come back on defense.
You got a couple kids in the ESPN 300, too.
Right. Right. So, I mean, you start looking at stuff like that. I don't know about Menendez. They seem pretty senior heavy with the two guys, with Edwards and Logan. Obviously, Baldwin was kind of senior heavy, and Fletcher, same way with Devin Lingle and help me.
Payton.
Yeah, Payton. So, but I think, you know, Ponte Vedra, another team that they're going to be right back next year. So I think a lot of these teams, you kind of class them out into two things. No doubt the Baldwin thing is a huge disappointment. No doubt all these teams are disappointed. But if you're Rebald, if you're Ponte Vedra, if you're Oak Leaf, if you're those teams, you look at it and you go, we got some experience that we need for next year.
What about St. Augustine moving into 2019?
St. Augustine's another one. You know, that's the one that I just glaringly missed. I mean, you talk about a team that extra week of practice, you know, getting some confidence at the end of the year. They start a sophomore quarterback this year who battled injury all year. That's another team that, yeah. I mean, they got to look at this and they got to go, yeah, it's really disappointing because we're St. Augustine. We're used to playing a little bit longer than this. But at the same time, look what we made out of this year. So I do put those in two different camps. And some of these other teams that I said were senior heavy may not be, but their stars certainly were.
An easier way to devise it of the teams that are left, 8A, we have Mandarin still right. standing. Yep. 7A, you have Lee and Lake City Columbia. They play each other next week. 6A, the area is eliminated with St. Augustine going down. 5A, you still have Bowles. You still have Trinity Christian. You still have Baker County. 4A, you have Rains and West Nassau. 3A, St. Joseph's, and I believe that's it.
That's it.
And 2A, University Christian. Mm-hmm. So you're still alive in every classification with the exception of 6A and I believe 1A. We really didn't have anybody in 1A.
Yeah, yeah. And
there's a lot still out there for the taking here locally.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I still fully expect UC to still be playing, you know, in a couple weeks.
UC in 2A, Rains in 4A, and Trinity
in
5A.
Yeah. And
you know what? The winner of Lee and Lake City is going to have every opportunity to make a long run in 7A.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm looking, I guess, so if Bowles were to pull it off, they'd play Trinity the next week.
Yeah, if Bowles and Trinity win next week, then you have Armageddon in round three of the playoffs.
So there's a scenario here where if Baker County can keep winning, that November 30th, you could have a local game. You could have Baker County Trinity.
Which would be incredible.
Be awesome.
And it's what we had last year. It's how Baker County got into the state championship game last year. Because they had to beat Menendez, and I believe they had to beat Clay as well to make that deep playoff run last year. Yeah, I think Reigns would be a gigantic upset if they were not in Orlando.
I agree.
Trinity, I wouldn't go as far as call it an upset, but it would be an upset if they didn't get to the state semis. I think the state semis is the bare minimum for Trinity, and then you're going to run into South Florida.
No.
You don't think? American Heritage, Booker T. Washington, got some traditional powers down in South Florida.
No, you said it'd be an upset to get if they didn't get to state semis. It'd be an upset if they didn't get to state championship.
Okay.
I mean, I love Baker County. I don't know anything about Nature, Coast Tech, or anything like that, but no. They got too many dogs over at Trinity. If you look down south, I mean,
Heritage. I don't know what Heritage did tonight. I know they're down a little bit this year. They're like a 5 seed.
Rockledge is the 1 seed.
Yeah.
Because
Heritage beat Ponte Vedra in the state title game in 16, beat Baker County Heritage in the state title game in 17.
Heritage plays Rockledge next week. Yeah, I mean, Cardinal Gibbons is a good team this year, and that's somebody that actually the Trinity coaches brought up to me a couple weeks ago when I saw him. But I think 5A, I think if you've got to pick a favorite, it's Trinity, and I think it's an overwhelmingly favorite.
Heritage won 42-14, by the way.
And Heritage was on the road, and that's a 5-4, so.
Fort Lauderdale Calvary Christian.
Oh, there you go.
You're looking at a different Heritage.
Oh.
There's multiple Heritage there.
There's two American Heritages.
Yeah, the 5A American Heritage beat Westwood today 37-14.
Yeah, well, that's still a big win. Yeah. Almost the same exact score, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, pretty
but
close.
But they beat Westwood, so Heritage advances. They will play Rockledge next week in a 1-5 matchup. We'll come back. We'll give you kind of an overview. We'll do the recruit of the week a little different way, though, this evening. It is the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists with Denny Thompson, the hacker Ryan Green with you, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Friday Night Lights, presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010 XL.
I like that.
That does it for you?
I like this.
It's Friday. That's the name of the song.
Yeah, you know what I was listening to today? In my wife's car, she's got it on the Hallmark Holiday Music Channel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's 89 degrees outside. I'm hearing Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Did you know that Hallmark has 2 channels showing Christmas movies this year?
Oh, I know. I got every one of them on my DVR.
I do know that. I have been aware, and I've watched probably six of them.
My wife is a loyal supporter of the Hallmark Channel.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible stuff. That is Denny Thompson. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. Appreciate you hanging out with us under the Friday Night Lights. We are presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. Every week here on 1010XL on the Friday Night Lights postgame, we give you a recruit of the week. It is brought to you by Kinetico CGC Water Treatment. And JJ, let's do that right now.
Now, Kinetico CGC Water Treatment presents the Recruit of the Week.
With playoff losses, Denny, comes the end of careers that were very, very good here in our area. There were numerous ones tonight. Gavin Screws, quarterback at Baldwin. His high school career is over. He is on his way to Troy University.
Just got a text from Gavin. I texted him earlier just saying, proud of you and, you know, proud of the mark you've made. Keep your head up. We'll get back to work soon. This is what makes these guys so good. Here's the return text. Sorry, Gavin, if you didn't want me to read this. I am. It says, get ready to be busy. We're going to grind hard. Like, he's already ready to work.
Gavin's a great kid.
He's already ready. Like, season just ended. He's probably sore, upset. And what's the dude thinking about? Coach, let's get to work.
Getting ready to work. And he's on his way to Troy University. Jeremiah Payton's career came to an end at Fletcher tonight. They fall to Lake City Columbia. He has been committed to the Miami Hurricanes forever. And then those tailbacks out at Menendez, man. Kenny Logan and Ty Edwards, absolutely terrific football players. You would highly anticipate they will be playing big-time college football on Saturdays next year. What about those four young men? And actually, you know what? Throw Keyshawn King in there from Oakleaf, who's on his way to Virginia Tech. They lost last
Keyshawn
night.
Keyshawn King, the least talked about of the major recruits?
Like, probably.
I mean, I was watching film the other day of Oakleaf. This guy, holy cow.
Well, he's got to be pretty good if Virginia Tech wants you to come play football.
I'm floored, and I don't know. He may have him. But I'm floored after watching what I saw the other day that he doesn't have Ohio State, Alabama, stuff like that. This kid is legit.
So those five, and I guess we just talked about King a little bit, Edwards, Logan at Menendez, Payton at Fletcher, Gavin Screws at Baldwin. Anything jump out to you about any of those young men whose high school careers ended tonight?
No. I mean, they all – it's funny because I think Payton being at Fletcher, Fletcher's had their fair share of big-time recruits, right? So – Payton is crazy talented. Menendez, what you can say about those two guys at Menendez is kind of like Derrick Henry at Yulee. Menendez got the most out of those two.
There's no question.
I mean, those guys, you know, literally took a team on their back and put them on a map that they have not been on in a very long time. And then same with Gavin. Same with Gavin up in Baldwin. Just from what I know of all these kids, and I know a lot of them, I don't know all of them, they all seem like they're grinders. They're hard workers. And most of these guys, people have this messed up mentality that these highly recruited guys are spoiled brats that just have everything given to them. Y'all are wrong. I work with them every day of my life. You know what these highly talented recruits are? Workers.
Yeah.
They work hard. They outwork everybody else, and that's why they get to the level they get to. And so I'm sure all of them are just like Gavin. My high school career is done. Now let me get working on my college.
And a lot of these kids with early enrollment, they'll be at their universities in 2 months. Yeah, a lot of these kids will probably be on campus come January. All right, Denny, we got about 5 minutes to go. Let's run through the schedule next week. 2A, your alma mater, University Christian, goes to the Panhandle to play Tallahassee McClay.
Blowout.
You think University in a big way?
Blowout.
3A next week, Taylor County at St. Joseph's.
Don't know anything about it.
Taylor County with a win over Baldwin tonight.
I'm pulling for St. Joe. I love Dylan. I love their quarterback at St. Joe, little Johnny Manziel, basically, without the behavior problems. That's probably where I'll go, actually.
In 4A next week, South Walton at West Nassau, Marianna at Raines.
I think West Nassau wins. I think Raines blows Marianna out to the point that Marianna wishes they didn't make the playoffs.
So that would set up Raines and West Nassau, right? I believe that would set up that matchup in round number, I guess it would technically be round three, because Raines and West Nassau both had byes tonight. 5A, Baker County at Nature Coast, Bowles at Godby, Wakulla at Trinity.
Okay, Baker County wins. Just playoff.
That would be an upset. That'd be a 4 over a 1.
Would it? Would it though?
I mean, they are the number one seed in the region.
It wouldn't in my mind. I think they win. I think Bowles probably goes down to a very talented Gobby team, but I don't think they go down without a fight.
That Gobby team's 11-0.
Yeah, but I think Bowles gives them all they can handle, and I think Trinity has a running clock going into third quarter.
7A, it'll be the game of the week. Lee at Columbia. The regular season matchup was awesome. Columbia won that game 42-37. Lee goes back to Columbia next Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a heck of a game. I mean, flip a coin on that one, right? I hope Lee brings it home. I hope that that Sapp can continue his run as quarterback at Lee, and he's had a great year. He's a good player if you haven't gotten a chance to see him. But, man, it's hard to go to Columbia.
It's hard to go to Columbia. And, again, Columbia's lost one game, and it was by 1 point to Trinity Christian.
Yeah,
that is how good Lake City Columbia is. Having said that, Lee has lost one game. It was by 5 points to Lake City Columbia. So you got two really good teams that could very easily contend for a 7A state title.
It's going to be a heck of a game.
One of which is going to be eliminated in round two. And then finally in 8A, Mandarin, Carson Beck, a quarterback you know very well, he and the Mustangs will go to Winter Park. Mandarin, a dominating 35-0 win tonight over DeLand.
I think Mandarin wins. I think the turning point for Mandarin was at a Popka game when they went over there and just dominated that game.
Popka won tonight, too. They did. Vito.
They did, and I think since then, I think Mandarin has just played with a different level of confidence. I think they win that game. I think it'll be a good game, and I didn't even realize this. I'm looking at this. Man, I'm going to be busy next week. We got quarterbacks in every single one of these games except for one.
Yeah, no, it's 6 points, man. Getting it done.
Wow.
No question about it. Final thought, Denny. Difference between preparing for round one of the postseason and round
completely.
Two. At this point, everybody left is good.
Yeah, completely different. It's funny you say that. I was thinking about that earlier when I was in St. Augustine watching. Completely different. Like it. I think round two and the Thanksgiving weekend are the two most difficult, because once you get past there, it's teams you've heard of and maybe you kind of took a peek at and stuff like that. Most of the time, this is a team you've never heard of. This is a team you've probably never played. And you're starting from scratch. It is very, very, very difficult. The next round, you maybe you've seen a couple times. This one is a blind draw.
Denny, I think at this point, the plan is for us to finish it out next week. One more edition.
Let's do it.
Of the Friday Night Lights postgame show.
Let's do it.
That is Denny Thompson. JJ, great job by you as always, buddy. I'm the hacker, Ryan Green. And thank you, Jacksonville, for listening to the Friday Night Lights postgame. We have been presented by the Duval Dealers and brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. We got 9 area teams left. We'll finish out another year of the Friday Night Lights postgame next week with our season finale. Have a great weekend, Jacksonville, and Denny and I will both talk to you during our Jaguar programming this Sunday while the Jaguars take on the Indianapolis Colts. Until then, so long, everybody.